Hi guys, it's Jessie.
And Hannah.
And welcome back to Maybe We've Been a Little Too Harsh.
Maybe we've been a little too harsh.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's going on? You go first with your life.
Not a ton. School started back up again. And I am taking two classes, and I think I'm going to like one and not like the other, which was what my setup was last semester, and it was doable, so that's fine.
Okay.
We're currently getting a big snowstorm, me and Jesse.
Yep.
So I am camped out at my parents' house with my dog.
That makes more sense why you were playing Monopoly then.
Yes, yes, yes. And my sister and her husband and the baby are also here, so we're all just hanging out. And
is Benny there?
No, Benny isn't there. Benny has to stay with their cats.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Whereas my cats, I'm just like, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But Benny feeds their cats, like, good food twice a day. And I'm just like,
okay.
I tore open the bag of cat food and you can snack and goodbye.
Terrible.
I'm a bad cat mom, but it's okay. It's better than they would have had in the shelter. And they're happy. You know, they're happy cats.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel that bad.
It's pretty easy to make cats happy.
Yeah. Then they're old and happy, so I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm up to $66 a month on my fanfic Patreon, so that's exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
No, you know what? I actually have more because I got a new patron today. Wait, let me check what I'm at now. Yeah. I am now at $71.
Wow, that's impressive.
I know, so that's cool.
I can't believe people, like, pay for fan fiction.
Yeah, well, they like me.
I mean, yeah, obviously. But, like, I don't know, I guess I feel like people don't... Like, you know how certain things are, like, it's more standard to, like, monetize it? So, like, music or, I don't know, you're paying someone to, like, edit your stuff. You pay the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess I just didn't think that people would pay for fan fiction because it's so often just, like, a thing that is expected to be
Yeah, well, the
fan free.
Fiction itself is free. You can still read everything for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, if you want to get, like, sneak peeks before I post it or if you want to get to, like, request what I write about, then you can do on the Patreon.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's fun. Besides that, nothing much going on. I've been sick. I had a cold last week and I still don't feel great, but I don't have COVID. I got tested.
Great.
So that's good news. I think that's about all that's going on with me.
Okay. Well, yesterday I did convince myself that I had COVID because in the evening my throat got tense, which is not one of the symptoms, I don't think. And I could totally taste and smell. I smelled, you know, cat poop as always. And it was fine. I was just like, I am gonna die. But no, actually I had just made myself so stressed because I was... behind on, like, work stuff and whatever, and I didn't have, like, the time or energy to apply for this journalism fellowship that I applied to it last year, didn't get in. I was looking back at my application. Holy shit, it was awful. No wonder I didn't get in. I don't know what I thought, like, that was acceptable to put it on. Huh? No, simply not. But I applied again this year, and... it's like different newsrooms every like application cycle. Mm-hmm. So last year I had applied hopefully to get into this newsroom in Chicago where the beat was, reporting on this queer neighborhood.
Cool.
Which would have been sick as fuck if I got it, but I didn't. And this year I applied for these two newsrooms in Pittsburgh. One that would be reporting on the, like, racial and economic inequalities in the cities, in the city, because it's, like, one of the most segregated cities in the U.S., and also, like, another newsroom that was doing, like, I don't know, they want someone to, like, report on, like, the shifting economy in Pittsburgh, because, like, since 2006, it's, like, become like a mini tech hub. So like Google and who's the other one? Duolingo. There we go. I always forget it. They have like headquarters.
Oh, cool.
It's not like their main headquarters, yeah. but it's like a little one, are in Pittsburgh, and other companies are coming in as well. And it's causing a huge problem with gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
And also those jobs really aren't like accessible to natives of yeah. Pittsburgh. Like it's all people who are coming from elsewhere. So they want someone to report on that. So I was like, well, I know this area super well. And I worked in many nonprofits there. And I completely understand what's going on here and could report on it very well. So we'll see what happens with
that. That's awesome. So would you be moving back to Pittsburgh if you got those?
If I got it, yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Which is also could be really great.
Yeah.
Because one of my best friends lives in Pittsburgh still and, like, has a great apartment. And, she was living with two of our friends, and it ended up being, like, a very frustrating living situation for her, just because, like, they aren't, like, the best people to roommate with, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know how people sometimes, like, they don't go out of their way to, like, clean or, like, make things nice?
So, like, me.
Which, like, me too. But, like, I always tell my roommates, like, I'm not going to think about it. So you have to ask me directly yeah. to do this thing and I'll just do it.
Yeah.
But she would do that and they would like, you know, be like, we don't have to. Just because the garbage smells a little doesn't mean it has to be taken out. And she was like, oh no, our expectations are so different. So now they moved out because one of them got a different job and now they can go back to being friends and not having to have a yes. roommate relationship on top of that. Which is going to be good. But I want to live with her. She'd be great to live with. So this could possibly be great in those two aspects.
Eli.
Career and friend-wise. And it's salaried and would be at least what I'm making now.
That's awesome.
So it's, yeah.
Eli.
It's good, except for I don't want to move back there if I don't have to. I prefer to be in New York. But,
yeah,
you know, come it here. Is what it is.
Don't bark. If you bark, I'm going to put you in your crate. Yeah.
He heard crate. He's not he happy. Did. And he
snaps your attention. He's like, oh, no. Aww. Come here. Come here. That's my sweet boy. Hello.
But, yeah, I was stressed about that. I also got two pitches picked up finally. It took Yay! For fucking ever. I really was like, I'm going into the wrong field. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna have to live on disability for the rest of forever. And like the only reason I'm gonna survive is because my parents have like, you know, yeah. money socked away somewhere. And I was just like freaking out. And now it might be fine. Finally got mostly caught up with everything. Today, I don't have to be so stressed anymore. Yeah, and then on top of that, the thing that I didn't tell you but yeah. alluded to, Remy, okay, well, hold on. You know we have 12 cats?
Yes.
Two of them are mine, 10 of them are my mom's, and of the 10 that are hers, one is this very sick orange cat named Ginger.
Okay.
She's a bitch, she's got a horrible personality, she's rude.
I'm just trying to close my laptop.
It's okay. And she started peeing in our dining room. And my dad is sick of it, so now she no longer has upstairs privileges. She's stuck in the downstairs. Well, throughout the course of the door being opened, Remy decided that he prefers the litter boxes in the downstairs. And when one of us isn't paying attention and he decides he wants to go downstairs, he'll just shit just on the floor.
Mm.
Just wherever.
So,
he has lost his upstairs privileges, which is bad for him because he likes to be insane and run and attack everyone. But someone let him out and he was hanging out with Bulby and then he wanted to come in and sleep in my room. So now he's here sleeping. Until he decides it's time for him to get up and scratch at my door and meow and be really annoying. And then he'll be sequestered back downstairs. So aww. It's very frustrating. I'm a little worried about the implications for when I move out.
But. Yeah. Poor little Remy. So,
yeah.
Eli shits on my floor all the time because he won't go outside. He doesn't pee in the house. He pees outside, which is great.
Okay.
But he just will not shit outside. And I don't know.
Like, why?
I have no idea. I think he just doesn't like being outside for that long. Like, he likes to run outside, pee, and then run back in.
No.
So once the weather's warmer, I can take him outside for longer. But right now, it's like, what? I'm not going to take him for a long walk. It's snowing and cold.
So, yeah.
So whatever. Animals.
Oh, animals.
Oh, animals.
They're driving me crazy.
Hmm. Okay, should we talk about the episode?
Yeah, we're not going to talk for 20 minutes beforehand like last time.
Oh my god, only for 11 minutes.
You know what? That is a totally acceptable amount of time. I feel like the listeners enjoy that.
I hope so. I mean, they keep listening to us, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so this episode, I have a lot of feelings, Jesse, about this episode.
Okay.
So okay. Let's talk about everything that's not Brian and Justin.
Great.
And then I'll just wax poetic about Brian and Justin.
Great.
Yeah.
So continuing with Emmett, he gets told by the old people who are gonna die soon that George was not being genuine, and Emmett put him up to this, and he's not gonna get a fucking dime. And so then Emmett and Melanie are like, actually, we'll release this shit to the public we'll release this shit to the public if you take this. He left this money to me, whatever. Which I think is a good strategy for a one episode plot.
Yes.
It could have been done much better if they cared to give Emmett mm-hmm. a longer plot, but no. Yeah. And then the old people are like, well, you either can have this $1 million and never mention that you and George were ever together, and you're going to sign this thing saying that it was never true that you were ever together, and we'll just erase that from the universe's memory. Or you will be a wild card and do something that we aren't expecting you to do, because we're expecting you to sign this shit because you want the money, right?
Yeah.
And Emmett does the stupid idiot thing.
Yep.
And is like, no. We were together and it was real. Bitch, he's dead.
I know. Take the money, Emmett.
He's so stupid.
I know, it's hard.
So, yeah.
That was that. Yeah. I do like his little monologue he has where he says, like, that's mine and you can't take it, when he's talking about, like, his past with George. It's sweet.
But yeah. But it's also stupid.
It's also stupid, yeah. Ethan. Not Ethan. Ethan's later. Emmett. I just was reading the summary for next episode, and I read the word Ethan, so. Ted, does he do anything?
No, I think he was just there in, like, a scene or two.
Yeah, he was around in Emmett's plot, kind of. Yeah, but he didn't really do much. Lindsay, do we even see Lindsay?
I don't think so, thank God.
Yeah.
She's so annoying.
Oh, we did see Lindsay briefly. We did see Lindsay because there was that scene where they were all in, Michael's apartment talking about ways to support Michael.
Yes. Okay. That was fine.
I think she has to be in every episode, like, contractually.
I think so too. That's why I was like, that doesn't make sense. But I'm happy to not remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we did see Daphne. Thank
God. We did, and she was great.
Why isn't she in all of the episodes?
I know. I love her so much.
She's so much better than the lesbians.
Every time she shows up, it's great. Like, literally every time we see Daphne, it's in a great scene. She's got some great stuff
really
in season 3.
She didn't really do anything this time, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know, but she was still great. Season 3, she's got some great stuff. You'll like her
Thank
a lot.
God.
I guess Ben and
Michael.
Michael, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Ben is like, my two cells are not doing great. And
No,
then he.
he had pancreatitis from his meds.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he almost like dies on the stovetop. I was sitting there like, this is a little dramatic. I did text you there. It was like I don't know. It was like a little not. I can't say too much. I'm gonna say it wasn't believable. So, yeah. And then Michael tells Vic and not Debbie because Debbie is a bitch when it comes to Ben.
Yep.
And then Vic is like, Debbie, did you hear? Debbie's like, I didn't hear. And then she goes to the hospital and it's like very sweet. It's like a gesture of like, I am not like totally happy, but Ben doesn't deserve to die. And this is obviously stressful.
Yeah.
So it was
She and Ben
nice.
are good after this. This was the turning
Oh,
point for
good.
them. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I actually really like Michael in this plot. I think he's a really good
Yeah.
partner. You can tell he really cares, but at the same time, he doesn't let it be about himself and his emotions. He really makes sure it's about
Yes.
Ben.
Because, like, wasn't when what's his name almost died? It was Brian, right? No, it was Ted in the
Yes.
first season.
Yes.
It became about everyone else.
Yes. No one cared about like actual Ted. Yeah. It was about
Except for
Brian's
me.
decision to unplug him. Yeah. God. That episode. Unplug him and he's not even plugged into anything. He's just chilling.
Nope.
God. I thought this hospital plot was a lot more realistic in terms of like Ben's behavior and how he was doing.
Yeah.
I liked that the doctor just when Michael said like he was Ben's lover, like there was no like
Yeah.
homophobia or anything. He was just like, they'll get you a blanket and a pillow. 'Cause I was like, I just didn't want to deal with homophobia right then. Like there was just too much going on.
Yeah.
So that was like a nice relief.
I think like the point of that was almost, I don't know. 'Cause like the last time there was homophobia in a doctor's situation was the first season, which I think was to, I don't know, to
It
be
was when
like,
Gus
there's.
was sick. And they wouldn't let Melanie back in with them.
Yeah, that's dumb. But I think also, like, the point, it was a little bit to show, like, time has passed, things are progressing. But I was also seeing it from the point of view of, like, well, because it's definitely much more, like, apparent and poignant with, gay people, but especially people who have AIDS, or HIV/AIDS, is like hospitals wouldn't let their partners be with them or
Yeah.
their friends who were very close to them. Like, unless you were biological family, you couldn't be there. And I feel like they're, like they wrote it this way on purpose. Like, you can tell that Michael was nervous to say that he was Ben's lover and he was really worried about the reaction from the doctor was going to be. And the doctor did have like a little bit
Yeah,
of
there was a
a
pause.
reaction, but it wasn't like homophobia and he was accommodating.
I think
So.
it's also from an audience perspective, we feel that nervousness for Michael, and we're nervous that something's going to happen too. So it's kind of playing with our expectations there a little bit, but also showing you that, like, you can never fully relax as a gay person.
Yeah.
There's always that worry
Yeah.
that the best you ever get is probably. You
Yeah.
never get for sure as a gay
Yes.
person. Fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ben is doing better at the end of the episode. They're going to take him off his meds for a
Yes.
little bit, and he still wants to go
Which
to
is
Tibet.
interesting.
And we'll hear more about his planned trip to Tibet in the next few episodes.
Okay.
Michael was a good supportive partner, and we're proud of him.
Yeah, there was a scene with him and Brian, which
I
I
have a
think.
lot of feelings about this scene, yeah.
Okay, then you let's go through Brian and Justin's plot because I would love to talk about that scene, but I feel
Okay.
like
Yeah.
we have
I
to
want to talk
like.
about Brian first
Okay.
because I think Justin here reacts to Brian a lot, and a lot of his plot is a reaction to what's going on with Brian.
For sure.
So, Brian's in a tough spot at work. He's been asked to come up with this pitch in 24 hours for this steakhouse. And he's stressed. There's a scene with him and Justin, so I will mention Justin, obviously. You have to mention Justin. But when Justin comes back from his trip and asks Brian if he missed him, and Brian communicates in his way that he did miss him. And he even asks Justin how the trip was.
Oh, I don't remember that. I just remember being like, why is Justin talking to himself?
Yeah.
This is too theatrical for me.
But then Brian basically asks the same thing. And he's like, are you trained to be a ventriloquist? And then he goes behind Justin's head like he's a little puppet and goes, so how was your trip? It's cute.
It is very cute. Yeah. But Justin was not happy.
Yeah. He was not. Brian has a lot on his plate right now. And right when he's about to do his big presentation, he gets a call from Michael. We don't see Michael's half of the conversation, but we just saw Michael in with the nurse, so we know that he's freaking out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Brian's like, I gotta go. And he leaves work and he goes to the hospital. And yeah, that scene. So tell me your thoughts on that scene.
My thoughts are, I know we're basically being set up for... because we've, like, every time something bad happens in Michael's life, previously, I would say, like, much before this, like, before the birthday episode, for sure, Michael, if something was gonna go bad, he was gonna go crawling back to Brian, you know, and especially in previous scenes when there's been some sort of a medical thing or like a big life and death emergency, every time he and Brian are like in a room together, like trying to like be good friends to or for each other, there's this like this element that's still there of, well, Michael is always going to come back to Brian.
Yeah.
That's not the case in this scene. I really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it, like, I still felt like Brian was a little thrown off by that.
Yeah.
But it was good. So.
There's a line that Brian has in an earlier scene. It's the one where Michael is getting all his stuff ready. He's, like, in his room packing, and he's like, I can't find my pants. And, like, he's holding his pants, and he's, like, really flustered.
That's what I was thinking about. That's the scene I was thinking about. Yeah.
I thought we were talking about the one at the hospital. No, it's fine. So
no, that one in the room was much more, like,
yeah, Brian stuck is out prone to that. And he has a line that's really interesting where he says, you don't have to be strong for me. And Michael goes, why is this about you? This has nothing to do with you. And
yes.
Right. And I cling to that because I think we go, so now we're in the hospital scene, and Brian brings up when Justin was bashed and can barely get through it because his voice breaks.
Wow, I don't remember this at all.
When they're in the hospital, Brian's there and he says, listen to me, are you listening? And he says, the night Justin was bashed and I called you and you were about to get on a plane, you came back here and you sat with me for 3 days while we waited to hear if he was going to live or die.
Mm-hmm.
And his voice breaks when he says it. He can barely get through it. And that's why I think he was saying, you don't have to be strong for me. Because he's so, you know, egocentric. He's thinking about himself. But he's thinking, oh, Michael doesn't want to trigger me and make me think about that night with Justin with his hospital stuff.
Okay.
That's not real.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Yeah. So then Brian comes home from the hospital. And Justin's there with this big spread on the floor with this picnic. And Brian says, I've had a terrible day. Because he's had to, he missed this thing at work, and then he had to relive this bashing thing, and he just wants to go out with Justin and dance and not think about anything, and Justin won't let him have it. And he's not picking up signals from Justin because he's so in his head about this past with Justin and about proving that they're fine now. So that's my read on Brian in this episode, is that he's thinking a lot about what happened to Justin and he's back in that place. And he's still really damaged by it. He can barely talk about it.
Yeah. That was definitely not what I read about like his motivation for going to the club. I mean, maybe it's like similar, but like a little different. I don't know. I was thinking like, because we've, for the last few episodes, there's been this pull from Justin to be more, like, domestic and romantic. And, you know, it's, like, obviously a rejection of that on Brian's part.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, when Brian has the, you know, the free time and the energy to, like, go to the clubs and he's on top of, like, his work stuff, like, that's when he feels good about his life and himself and, like, everything's going great for him. And not doing that and, like, staying home and, like, doing anything different, I feel like, for him, would have caused a spiral.
Yeah, but remember the last time we saw Brian really happy was when he made Partner. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He brought champagne home for Justin. I wouldn't tell anybody the news until he saw Justin. So
I don't think
that Brian is against this romantic, domestic stuff as much as he probably thinks he is and as much as we're supposed to think he is.
Mm-hmm,
I think Justin just keeps catching him at terrible times. He couldn't, he wanted to go away with Justin for a whole week to go snowboarding, but he couldn't because of work. And here, he's not against the picnic on the floor, but he had a terrible day and he doesn't want to sit around and think right now. And when Justin is talking to himself and being morose, he's got this huge account and he has to find something in 24 hours. So Justin keeps catching him at these bad times. And it's just, like I keep saying, it's not a problem of values or about them wanting different things.
No, it's just a
communication breakdown.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin meets up with Ethan again several times over the course of this episode.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Ethan?
You know, Ethan is fine. There's nothing special about him, quite frankly. Other than that, he's a good musician, but like, so what?
Oh, he's Jewish. Yeah.
But he reminds me of just like every fucking theater boy that all of my friends would like gush over, and it's like, well, he's just a man in a field that is encouraged to be more like feminine, you know, because society and the way that the patriarchy, men can't be artists or whatever the fuck, but like, so I don't know, he needs to offer me more than like a shitty apartment and like good at playing violin. And like, he is giving Justin what Justin has been asking for in terms of like romantic attention, so I understand that. But other than that, he's just a standard white boy to me.
There's this one scene with Ethan when he's talking about his romantic history. And he's saying that he had a boyfriend who liked to go out and go to the clubs and bring guys home. My entire opinion on Ethan hinges on whether this is true or whether he's made it up to get Justin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're never told which one that is. And it drives me crazy because if that actually happened to him and he's telling an actual story, then I like Ethan. If he's just saying that to manipulate Justin, then I don't like Ethan. Mm-hmm, so it's like, which one are we on here? So I don't know.
I don't remember, like, how much he knows about Justin's
Exactly. We don't know. We haven't seen Justin express those problems to Ethan, but that doesn't mean he didn't do it off screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or that Ethan just didn't pick up on it from the way that Justin's clearly seemed unhappy in his relationship every time he talks about it to Ethan.
Yeah.
So at the end, Justin goes to Ethan's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they kiss, which is against those rules that we laid out in episode 6.
Yes.
And it's a big moment.
Yeah. I was really disappointed in Justin.
Yeah, Justin's now broken every single one of those rules that they laid out. He one time stayed out with Michael past 3. He kissed someone who wasn't Brian, and this is definitely a names or numbers exchange situation, so Justin broke all the rules and Brian broke none of them. Who would have seen that coming?
I mean, me. It's hard. It coming.
Yeah.
Like, not to call him a child, but
I mean, he's 19.
18-year-olds are not, you can't expect them to follow rules when the whole point is that, like, you're growing and learning and changing and everything, like, is confusing and stressful, you know? I can't expect him to follow, like, rules like that.
They were his
I don't
rules,
know.
though. He
I
came up with
know they're
them.
his rules, but like, I don't know. Maybe it's also like an air sign thing. Like, I don't like when, like, I feel like rules have to change all the time. Like, every day, like in a relationship, it's gonna be different rules.
Yeah.
So.
Most people really blame Justin for this.
Don't really blame him,
I don't
but do
blame
I blame him
anybody.
for not going to therapy
Yeah.
instead
Yes, that
of
would be
kissing this
nice.
man? Yes.
I'm not mad at anyone in this situation. I'm not mad at Brian. I'm not mad at Justin. I'm not mad at Ethan.
Yeah, it just could have been better. Like, it's not the end of the world, but
Yeah.
yeah, you know, it's not like I would say this is not as bad as fucking who was it? Melanie kicking Lita
Melanie.
out of the house because she's jealous and whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Like, this is that was them being stupid about a thing that they could have worked through. This, I wouldn't say they're being stupid, it's that they aren't even working through it at all.
Yeah, because they're not
Like, they aren't.
communicating.
Exactly. So it's
One
like
of
a
the
totally
things
different
that I
problem.
really emphasize here when people are mad at Brian is that Brian doesn't know that there's a problem.
Yes,
Brian is not
yes,
picking up on this. He
yes.
didn't know that there was a problem with the birthday present until Melanie told him. He doesn't know that Justin's unhappy in this episode. He doesn't know that Ethan exists. He doesn't know. So anyway,
And
that
like,
will
why would he be
obviously.
thinking? Like, he thinks Justin is fine. He the priorities in his life right now are pitch and making sure that Michael doesn't, you know, throw himself off a cliff because he's stressed.
Yep.
So.
And he doesn't want to worry about Justin because it reminds him of last time he had to worry about Justin, and he doesn't want to get in that headspace. And he's already somewhat in that headspace by all this hospital stuff going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, they're a mess. Obviously, this plot line isn't over.
Nope.
And we'll see where that goes. Do we have anything else?
No,
Okay.
I don't think so. Ben was comatose like the whole time,
He was.
so.
But he was sweet when he was awake. He was
Yeah.
nice to Michael. Hot or not?
Yeah, so my hot is going to be. Fuck, I don't know. Why is it so hard to choose someone? You know,
Yeah.
like, Emmett was dumb.
Yes.
Ted didn't do enough to give him anything. Michael was nothing. Like, he was just existing. I guess I'm gonna give my hot to Brian.
Okay.
'Cause he was a good friend, and he can't solve problems that he doesn't know about. And he still managed to have a successful pitch, even though he got pushback from the client. So, it was fine.
And he also wasn't mad at Justin for going snowboarding,
Oh, yeah.
which I thought was really good of him. He could have been pissed about that. It was his money.
Yeah, but I think he just, like, he understands that Justin's 18. Sometimes you have to just let him be 18 and you can be responsible.
My hot's gonna go to Michael. I think he was a good partner. I liked the way he didn't fall back on Brian, like you said. And I don't know, I just thought he was really good to Ben.
My not. I just know no one's gonna like this opinion other than you, is Emmett.
Yeah.
How fucking stupid do you have to be to turn down free money?
Yeah.
And this is a thing, this is a thing that my friends do a lot. I would say it's mostly my goyish friends and my friends who were raised goyish. So I have like a few friends who only like reconnected with their Judaism, which like they were not raised in, but like
Sure.
have grandparents who were Jewish once upon a time. Like they only reconnected within the last like few years. They all refuse to accept money. Like they can't do it. They hate when I'm just like, oh, you're stressed about money? Let me just like buy you dinner. Like, I want to spend time with you. Like, let's just go out. Don't worry about it. I got it. They hate it. They always refuse. And, like, you know, I've just, like, seen them in similar situations. And it is just a stupid, goyish thing. And I hate it. I can't stand it. It makes no sense. Just accept when people are giving you an inch.
I agree. Just, like,
take it.
Yep.
I'm so mad. Okay. Who's yours?
It's hard because I'm not mad at anyone this episode.
Mm-hmm. Also, wait, look behind me. Remy is upside down.
I can see him. He's so cute.
Foot in the air.
I guess I have to give it to Justin.
Okay. Yeah, all right. That's fine.
I'm not mad at him, but I'm not mad at anybody. And he broke the rules. So.
Yeah.
That's not hot.
I mean, you could always give it to Melanie for being a bad lawyer.
She was a good lawyer.
She could have been better. She played all of her cards when she didn't need to. I want to give an honorary
hot to Vic, actually, for going to Debbie and telling her what was going on. That was hot.
Yes. Yeah.
Would you like to hear about next episode?
Figure. Yes.
Okay, so this is the penultimate episode of the season.
Okay. What does that mean? I don't know.
The second to last.
Great. Everyone always says penultimate, and I'm like... Who?
It's the one before the ultimate. Okay. It's called Bowling for Equality.
No thanks.
Michael is attempted to expose Justin's affair with Ethan to Brian.
Do it!
Ted's become immune to porn. Melanie and Lindsay ask Lita to leave.
Again?
Yes. Bowling showdown.
I cannot stand these lesbians.
Cops versus queers. Yeah, it's all centered around the bowling. So this episode's bowling thing.
It sucks.
This episode does not suck because of Brian and Justin.
Okay, I'm gonna have to believe you, but this plot does not make me super excited.
Yeah, there's a really, really, really intense Brian and Justin scene in this episode. I mean, it's set up for the finale, so it's you have to kind of, you know, look at it as that. It's not its own strong standalone episode. It's setting you up for everything that happens in 20.
Okay, I can be okay with that.
And then we're on season 3 after that.
Yes, your favorite season.
It's so good. I will warn you, there is one episode in season 3 that is fucking terrible. And let me figure out what number it is. The part that I really love is really the second half of season 3, but the whole thing is good. But episode 4 of season 3 is... horrendous. It's a plot line that's borrowed. It's borrowed from the British Queers Folk, and like all the stuff they took from the British Queers Folk, it doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't work. It's like when Brian drives the Jeep through the car dealership, and you're like, "What the fuck?" That's from the British. And this is another thing that's from the British, and it's just it's so bad. It's completely problematic. And it's really bad.
They could just not be this way.
Yeah. It's... Justin's really good in that episode. It's the only good thing about it. But, season 3, second half of season 3 is the best TV. I'm convinced it's the best plot arc that TV has ever done. It's awesome.
Okay. All right.
And we'll also meet a new character in season 3 who I think you'll like.
Okay.
But first we gotta get through 2.
Yes.
Done. And it's rough. I told you it was rough.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not as bad as the L word.
No.
I
can admit it. It's not like bad, in my opinion. It's just like hard to watch. Brian and Justin just like.
Yeah.
Like it's like watching the car track. Going just fine. Motion. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if you think about the beginning of the season, like they were so happy. They were so
cute.
Well,
not the beginning.
Well, yeah, that's when Justin was really damaged. But think about how good Brian was to him.
Yes.
And then they made the rules, and they were having so much fun. And it sucks. Yeah. It's hard.
It is not going great right now.
It's not. But it's all part of the story.
Yes, it is. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can go ahead and follow us on Twitter at @alittletooharsh, at @Jesse_Quinnen, at @HannahMosk. That's it. See you next week. Adopt a cat.
Adopt a cat!